Well, this morning I want to share a message with you, and it is entitled First Things First. First Things First. Now, the genesis of this message was within the last month. Let me tell you sort of how it came about. I think I was sharing with you different times that I sort of picked up the practice again that I've done many years ago and for several years, and that was to read one chapter of Proverbs a day. And there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. Today I've read chapter 19 when I first got up this morning. I had done this before. I had read through Proverbs before. I've picked this practice up and now. But something was different. Now, this is the genesis of the message, the prompting of this message this morning. The difference was this time, I decided that the first thing I did when I got out of bed would be to read that chapter of Proverbs. Before I turned on the TV to check the news, before I checked anything else out, before I went to the phone or whatever, I said, this is the first thing I'm going to do. And I found a particular strength through this, a noticeable difference in my life, and trying to account. Was it because I read the scripture? Well, yes and no. I mean, I'd read the scripture many times, but the thing I could trace it back to was that this understanding or discipline that I was going to do it the first thing when I got up in the morning. And as I thought about that and the benefit that it was bringing to my life unexpectedly in so many different ways, I thought, well, isn't that interesting? And so when I started to think about the biblical precedent for this and where in the scripture does it talk about this area, my mind went immediately to the verses on first fruits. First fruits. I'd always known about this term first fruits, but hadn't really delved into it to study it as much. And so I want to share with you this morning, first things first, but on the basis of first fruits. Here's the verse in Exodus 23 and verse 19. The first of the first fruits you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. The first of the first fruits. Now, they were an agricultural society, and so if they were to harvest something, they would bring the first of the first harvest to the Lord. That was a first fruit. Now, that is different from the tithe, which is also a giving on a regular basis. They would bring a tithe, that's 10%, and they would do that on an ongoing basis, though, usually on a weekly basis. They would bring a tithe to the Lord. But the first fruit was a little different. The first fruit was beyond just a tithe. It was the first fruit of a new endeavor, a new project, something that they were beginning. One case in the scripture I was reading about an olive press, and they started to press the oil, the olive oil, and the very first that came off that press was a first fruit. So it was the first of the first fruits. And so the sense was, whenever you started something, whenever you planted a new crop, whenever you went into a different endeavor that was going to bring increase to you, it was to bring a first fruit. The first of the first was to be given to the Lord. It says in Proverbs 3 and verse 9 to 10, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with wine. So here's the first point I have for you. Your future success is determined by how you handle your first fruits. In today's society, it may be you start a new job and you get your first paycheck. Then the first of the first is the first fruits. It could be something else that you're doing. That whatever is the first of the first is your first fruit. And Israel sensed this in the sense of the Hebrew word for first fruits is bikurim. And it literally means the promise to come. So as Israelis, when they brought the first fruit offering, it was a sense of actually bringing it with the promise that the rest is going to come and it's going to be blessed. It was an investment in their future. That as they brought their first fruit, they were believing that as they brought the first fruit, that God would bless the endeavor. And this was the aspect of first fruits. And as I say, their future success, they had in this mind, our future success is based on what I do with the first fruits. So the purpose of a first fruit gift is to put God first. That's why they did it. It was a way of saying, I've started this. This is the beginning. I have my first increase. I'm going to take the first offering from my first fruit, and I'm going to bring it to the Lord. It was a sense that the purpose of the first gift was to put God first. Honor God, saying, He gave me the idea. He gave me the prompting. I did this as unto the Lord. Here's the first fruits that's come in. So I'm going to take the first of the first, and I'm going to offer it to God. Now, this is a theme that we see through Scripture quite a bit. This is not just in Israel, but the prophet Elijah, and I won't go into all the story, but he had prophesied it wasn't going to rain. And it didn't rain. Everything started drying up. The brook he was at was drying up, so he went to a town, and you can read this story in 1 Kings chapter 17. He goes to this town. He sees this lady there, and he says to her, can you give me a drink? And she says, okay. And as she's going, he says, oh, and can you bake me a cake? Well, she turns back to him and says, I've only got a little bit of flour left, and I have just a little bit of oil. And let me tell you, I was going to bake a cake for my son and I, and we're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. And Elijah says to her, before you do that, bake me a cake first. I mean, it's hard for us to get our heads around this. I mean, is Elijah selfish? Is he saying, I'm going to get mine first? No, he understood this principle. And he said to her, bake me a cake first, and then you bake one for your son. And then he said to her, if you'll bake me a cake first, the flour in the keg is not going to run out, and the oil in the cruse, and you will have enough supply to feed yourself to the end of this drought. And she took him at his word, and she baked the cake for him first, probably scraping the bottom of the barrel and using the just to the end of the oil. But the scriptures goes on to say that from that day forward, the barrel did not run out. The cruse did not run dry. Every time she went, she felt like she was using the last of it, but there was always time for the next and for the next. To me, this is the principle of first fruits. You put God first. You get past your own ideas and your own philosophy and strategy, how you're going to cope. You say, no, I'm going to put God first. And God says, I'm going to bless the rest if you put me first. You know, Jesus, in a certain extent, did the same thing when a rich young ruler came to him. You find this story in Luke chapter 18. This young man, he was a rich man, came to the Lord, and he said, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord looked at him, and he said, well, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. He said, keep the commandments. And this young man said to him, I've kept these commandments from all my life. I've kept these commandments. And then we find this verse, Jesus responds. And so when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And the scripture said that this young man walked away sorrowfully. And it's a sad portion of scripture, because it says, and Jesus watched him go. But he walked away sorrowfully because he had much riches. He was trusting in his money. In fact, he said he kept all the commandments, but Jesus said the first and greatest commandment, the first of the first, is that you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. That's the first. And really, he was not keeping the first commandment. He was keeping the other commandments, but he was trusting his money. And when the Lord asked him to give to others, bring as it were a first fruits, to him it was everything fruit, because God knew what he needed to break this hold in his life, he walked away sorrowfully. I wonder if he had have responded rightfully. I wonder if he had done what Jesus had said. I wonder if there might have been a book named after him. I wonder if we'd be reading stories and we'd know this man's name, because he became a follower of Jesus and had an impact in the early church and what was done. Never did happen, because he didn't handle the first fruits. He didn't handle the first commandment right. He was trusting his own riches. So this is a powerful truth, the first fruit, that you'll find that's weaved all through Scripture. And as I said earlier, the purpose of the first fruit is to put God first. So today, what's the first fruit offering today? Well, today the first fruit is more than a monetary offering. It's more than just bringing finances. It's the first fruit of your life. God wants the first fruits of our life. Well, what does our life involve? Your life consists of your time, your talent, your treasure, your relationships, your thoughts, your words, and it can go on and on and on. What your life consists of. And the Lord says, put me first. And listen to what it says in Matthew 6:31. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else. I mean, the kingdom of God. God is the king. We are his kingdom. He says, you put my kingdom first. Seek first the kingdom of God above everything else. Put it first above everything else. And then he says, all these other things will be added to you. And so, as you can see, this is not just a matter of money. This is a matter of your life. And it consists of all these different aspects. When I saw that, I just jotted this down in my notes. My first fruit would then involve the first thing you do when you wake up. Well, I thought to myself, that's what I'm experiencing. I'm experiencing a blessing just by simply the very first thing I do in the morning, reading the scripture. The first thing you do at work. First activity when you begin any endeavor. First thing you do when you start to eat. First thing you do when you start a conversation. First thing you do when you go on a trip. And on it can go. What do you do first? Now, this is a principle that applies right across the board, not just spiritually, because this is a God-given principle. And it can apply in every area of your life. I read the story, and some of you may have heard it, a story of Frederick Taylor, who met Andrew Carnegie in 1890. It's a while back. But Andrew Carnegie at that time was one of the richest men in the world. He was into railways. He was just beginning a steel company that went and eventually became U.S. Steel. And so he was a businessman. And this other young man, he was trying to get started. And so he had this idea. And so he met Andrew Carnegie. And he said to him, listen, I've got an idea, some advice to give you for business. And he said, I don't want you to give me anything for it right now. He said, but if you will, take it and apply this and see the benefit it brings to you. And then send me a check for whatever you think it's worth. Well, it was a few months later, Frederick Taylor received in the mail a check for $10,000. Now, $10,000 today doesn't seem like a lot, but I just went and looked up what $10,000 is equivalent to today. You know what it's equivalent to? $380,000. Andrew Carnegie applied this advice and said, wow, that's really benefiting our business, and sent this man a check for equivalent of today, $380,000. You want to know what that advice was? It had three parts. And this is what he told Andrew Carnegie. He said, I want you to have all your managers and everyone that's overseeing parts of your companies. He said, I want you to tell them to list down all the tasks, all the things that they needed to do that day in regard to their responsibility. Then he said, I want you to tell them to prioritize them by their importance, the thing that would bring the most important, the big best benefit, and prioritize and make the list. Number one, number two, number three, number four. Then the third part was this. That day, the very first thing they do is do number one. The next thing they do is number two. They don't deviate from that. They don't get distracted to anything else. They're going to do it in order of the list that they have made. Andrew Carnegie applied that. He said, wow, I'm going to send that man a check for $380,000. Simple thing, isn't it? But it's doing the first thing first, the most important thing first. And if nothing else got done that day, the most important thing got done that day. And it kept them on track in just the business world. Now, if that's true in the natural, how much more in the spiritual? When the Lord says, put me first, put first things first. And if we ordered our life according to God's purposes, God's priorities, and then we applied ourselves, I tell you, that's going to be worth a whole lot more than $380,000. In fact, the scripture says that you'll seek that wisdom that God has. He said it's more valuable than gold and silver and precious stones. This is what Proverbs says. I've been reading Proverbs. He's saying you seek his wisdom, and if you get it, he said it'll bring silver and gold and all kinds of riches to you. But you got to seek it as if it was silver and gold, because then it's going to bring everything else to you. So this is the groundwork of this message this morning. So the application, what's the application of this? Well, here's the first application that I wrote down. Give God first place in your heart. Give God first place in your heart. What's your heart? The heart is the center of your being. It's the core of your affection. It's the driving force of your life, your heart. What do you have a heart for? What's that driving force? What is the center of your affections? And the Lord just simply says, that's an important aspect of your life. And this is what it says in Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All these different categories and all the involvements that you get involved in your life, your family, your work, your career, your leisure, all these things, they're all coming out of your heart. And the Lord says you need to keep that heart. You need to keep it with diligence. In other words, I would say the first thing is, make sure that God is first in your heart. This is how it says it in Proverbs 23:26. My son, I can add my daughter, give me your heart. Let your eyes observe my ways. So God says, I want you to give me your heart. Give me the center of your being. Don't just give me a prayer. Don't give me a bit of service. I want your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your whole being. Let me be the first thing in your life. Not an add-on in your life, but the first thing in your life. Let me have your heart. Matthew 23:27, Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. We've already talked about this. This is what Jesus said to people. This is the first commandment. I mean, God is God. As I said many times, God has this problem. He thinks he's God. He thinks he should have first place. He thinks he should have priority. He thinks everything should be secondary to him. And you know what? He's absolutely right. He's God. He created all things. He's designed all things. He sustains all things. He created us. He created us with talents and abilities, and he created us for a purpose. And so he says to us, as his creation, give me your heart. Give me the center of your being. It's almost as Pastor David said today, we can have a confidence. You give yourself to God, he's not going to mess you up. I mean, he designed you. He loves you. He's got a purpose for you. He wants you to be part of his grand design. But he wants, for the only way we're going to enter in, he says, give me your heart. Because out of that, all the other issues flow. If we just give God our heart, then everything else is going to find its rightful place. John writes to churches in the book of Revelation. And he writes to this church, and he commends this church very much in Revelation 2 and verse 4. But after he commends all the things they're doing well, he says to them this, nevertheless, this is verse 4, Revelation 2, nevertheless I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly, remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. And the Lord says, you know, you're my church, you're my people. And I know you're gathering, I know you call my name, and I like some of the things you're doing, but you know, he says, I look through there, but he says, you left your first love. Your heart, the center of your heart is your first love. And he says, you know, I've lost that. You've fallen from that. I'm no longer your first love. I'm just sort of part of your love. And he says, you need to come back to your first work, love, and then you need to go back to your first works. Well, what were you doing when I was the first thing in your life? You need to come back to that. Because if you don't come back to it, he said, you know what? You're not really benefiting you're no longer a light to the world, as it were. So he's going to take that candlestick away. I mean, this is serious stuff as you read what the Lord is saying to us. You know, as I was going through this, I came across this writing, and I was just reading it over. I was looking at things, putting God first, and this writing came up, and I'm just going to read it to you because it spoke to me as I read it. And this man is writing, and he's talking to us. He says, are you living in happy submission to the Lord? Would you go anywhere and do anything that he asked of you? Does he have first place in every area of your life? Too many have given first place to a job, a person, a cause, a pleasure, a sport, a dream. You are robbing yourself of life's most fulfilling purpose, to live for God. What a blessed life when the first thoughts of your morning and the last thoughts of your night are sweet meditations to God. Your heart is a kingdom, and he is the king. The kingdom of God is made up of people who have given their hearts to him. He's the king of our hearts. All those that have given their hearts, that's the kingdom of God. So he says, a heart is a kingdom, he is the king. Everything he asks of you is an honored privilege instead of a resented command. When he has first place in your heart, nothing else on this list will be a problem. Give God first place in your heart. Perhaps God was first in your life at some point, but that is no longer true. You have placed something or someone else on the throne of your heart. Other priorities crept in. The deceitfulness of sin seduced you. Pride filled your heart. you are miserable because a child of God can never be happy in rebellion to the Father. You can change that today. Repent of this and make God first in your life again today. Return to your first love. I mean, that's quite a challenge. And you read that with an open heart and a sensitivity to God's Spirit. That's going to convict you in some way. When I think about putting God first, in the priority of God first, there's three things that came to my mind. And so you can just jot these down as we go over them. The first is first in importance. In other words, first in priority. When you want to have God first, is he the most important thing? Are the things of God the most important things? And so that's the priority of boy, that is the most important thing in life. So if something is first in your life, you're viewing that as it is the first thing of importance. Then the second thing is, if you're putting it first, it's the first in magnitude. In other words, in quantity. First in the amount of time you're giving to it, the amount of energy you're giving to it. So if you're putting it first, it's not only the first in priority, but it's also the first thing in the quantities of your life. You're putting the time and effort into this accordingly. The next one is first in order. First in order. In other words, first chronologically. It's the first on your schedule. Your planning schedule. So it's first in importance, first in quantity, and first on your list. You get those three things lined up, and you found out what's the first thing in your heart. Now here's an interesting thing. The first thing in your heart is already written down. In fact, you have access to it. The first thing in your heart is already recorded. The first thing it's recorded in is your planning schedule. If you look down your calendar, that will reflect the first thing in your life. It will reflect the thing that's most important, where you're given the most time to, and the first thing that you do. And the second thing that records the first thing in your heart is your financial statements that come. I can go online, pull up my bank account. I can see the bills. I have a MasterCard. Every month it comes, I can go down the list. All the things I spent money on is on that list. It's already recorded, folks. I mean, it's not a quandary. I wonder what the first thing in my life is. You know, look it up. You can look it up. It's in your planning schedule, and it's in your financial accounts. And those two places will give you a pretty good idea what the first thing in your life is. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, It's not possible to be incidentally a Christian. The fact of Christianity must be overwhelmingly first or nothing. He said, you can't just be, you know, you're talking to someone, and sort of as you leave, incidentally, I became a Christian. Or, by the way, I'm a Christian. It's not by the way. He is the way. He is the life. C.S. Lewis is saying, if you truly become a Christian and understand what it means, this is not something that's part of your life. It is your life. It's not, I've worked it into my schedule, I've worked it into my this and my plan. No, it becomes your life. And then all these other things, you're seeking first the kingdom of God, then these other things are added in. And he'll add them in. And it's a blessing to serve God and put him first. He says, don't worry, you're never going to be worse off. I'm going to add all these other things to you. And when I add them, it won't bring any sorrow. It won't bring any grief. It'll be my blessing upon your life. So he's going to add all these things. But you can't just say, I love C.S. Lewis. He cuts to the quick so many times. He just says, you can't say, incidentally, I'm a Christian. He said, it's all or nothing. Well, now you sort of think, well, is that, do I want to be a Christian? Well, as if you have a better plan for your life. I mean, do you not think God loves you? You don't think God designed you, had a plan and purpose for your life? Don't you think he wants to use you in his grand scheme of what he's doing on earth? Certainly he does. Don't you believe God's word when he says if you put him first, he'll bless you? You'll never feel more fulfilled when you put God first. You'll never feel more excited than you put God first. You'll never have more adventure in your life than when you put God first. I mean, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. You'll never have more pleasure than when you put God first. I mean, we got to give our heads a shake sometimes. We believe the lies of Satan that whispers in your ear, oh, don't do that. That's too much. That's too much. Oh, they're asking too much. God's asking too much. No, he's asking for everything. He just outright tells us, give me your heart, give me your heart. You just need to give your heart to the Lord. And here's the beautiful thing. When we put God first, all other things fall into their proper place or drop out of our lives. See, you don't have to even start to sort it all out. He just says, give me the first place, give me your heart. And you know what? It's like you're finding the right thing to hold and everything just sort of falls out underneath accordingly. And if it's not meant to be there, it falls out and falls out of you, drops out of your life. It's not good for you. It's harmful for you. Oh, I don't want to serve God because I might have to give up this. Listen, put him first and just see how it all drops out. Maybe the thing you thought you had to give up, no, that's a major part. He wants you to do that, but he wants you to put God first in that. See, if you put him first, he takes care of everything else. That's the first fruit. You give him the first of your life, and he says, don't worry, I'm going to bless you abundantly as a result of that. Now, here's a couple of practical things, and we're not going to get through this whole message. I'm just going to give you a couple more points here. Give God the first day of the week. So when we get practical about this, well, what are we to give God? Give God the first day of the week. Revelation says, 1:10, it says this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. God spoke so loud to John because he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What's the Lord's day? Monday. No. Sunday. It's the first day of the week. When's the Sabbath? Saturday. But the early church called Sunday the Lord's Day because it's the day he rose from the dead. It was such an overpowering concept and reality to them that the Lord had risen from the dead that everything revolved around that. They went from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. They met and they met on the Lord's Day. John's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is Sunday. The first day of the week. When's your first day of the week? Well, we usually say Monday. But no, the first day of the week is Sunday. And what you do with Sunday will determine the blessings of your life for the rest of the week. We used to have a banner we used to hang in the foyer that said, success begins on Sunday. Because it does. It's the first fruit. Give him the first day of your week. Just say, this is Sunday. This is the Lord's day. You see, Sunday is not your day. It's not your day to relax and have leisure. It's not your day to sleep in. This is the Lord's day. What is the Lord about in this day? What would the Lord want me to do on this day? Well, one of the practical things is let's gather together on the Lord's day. And we do. And we have two services because there's too many of us to gather in one service. So we're gathering on the Lord's Day. What are we doing? We're trying to get in the Spirit. We're worshiping God. We wanted to pray together. We want to hear God's word. We want to be inspired. We're giving our lives to God by giving Him the first day of the week. Early church, it says in 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up by him by store, as God has prospered him, that there be no offerings when I come, no gatherings when I come. So he's saying, you know, gather together. They were collecting an offering for the church that was going through a drought in Jerusalem. And so he's saying, you know, bring your offerings the first day of the week, gather it up, and when I come, he said, I can take this offering back to Jerusalem to help the people that are suffering back there. When did they do it? I'm just trying to emphasize. They did it the first day of the week. They did it on this Lord's Day. It says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. I mean, some people don't have a priority. They've forsaken gathering together. But exhorting one another, and so much more the more as you see the day approaching. I mean, this becomes more important the closer we get to the coming of the Lord. Being together, coming together, giving the Lord the first day of your week. Is it the only thing you do on the first day? No. But let it be the first thing you do on the Lord's Day. And let their whole consciousness be, you know, this is a day I've given to the Lord. So maybe the Lord prompts you, you need to go visit with your friends, visit with your family. He might prompt you to do something else on the Lord's Day. But you're asking God, you know, I'm free, thankfully, in our culture. Most of us are free from other activities and responsibilities on the Lord's Day. And so you're free just to seek the Lord and say, Lord, this is not my day. This is your day. When I grew up, we went to church twice on Sunday. We went Tuesday nights to Bible study. Went Friday nights to youth group. So I went to church about four times a week when I was growing up. Say, oh, that's too much. And I have to give it to you that the Bible doesn't say to go to church 4 days a week. You know how often they went to?
Daily.
Daily they met in the temple and from house to house. And they ate their meat with gladness. And they prayed together. And they fellowshiped together. Why? Because they had given their hearts to God. They were just enthused that God was with them. He's alive. He's resurrected from the dead. He's got something for us to do. They turned their world, I was going to say upside down, but right side up. What an impact they had. Because they were coming together without thinking about it. They had just given their hearts to the Lord. And when they given their hearts to the Lord, they sort of gave their hearts to each other who had given their hearts to the Lord. I mean, this is a powerful concept when you really see it. Let me give you one more, then I'll be in line with what I did in the first service. Here's the second one. Give God the first hour of the day. You know, this comes right around to where we started. Give God the first hour of your day. If you give him the first day of your week, give him the first hour of your day. I tell you, you give the first fruit of your day to the Lord as an offering to the Lord, he's going to bless you back so much the rest of the day. Just put him first. I just found that just getting out of bed in the morning. I thought, wow, this is amazing. This message is coming out of an experience. I sort of looked and said, wow, why am I feeling stronger and better? And things are going better. Well, I'm reading the Bible first thing. Did I not read the Bible before? Yeah, I read the Bible before. But now it's like the first thing. And God says, I love the first fruits. Bring the first fruit of your day to the Lord. It says in Mark 1 and 35, speaking about Jesus, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for you." So they get up. Jesus is not there. Where he was sleeping, it's empty. Oh, we know where he is. He's in his place praying. Well, we got to get a message to him. Well, let's go where he is. It was probably the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where he tended to go and pray, and the disciples knew it. And so they went and found him there, and then they delivered the message to him. I just want you to know, if Jesus had a discipline of getting up early in the morning and going to pray, and you look at the Bible, how many men rose early in the morning and sought the Lord, and you read Christian biographies of great men and women of God and see their daily routine, it was given to the Lord the first hours. In fact, I was reading something about Martin Luther, and that he was very disciplined in giving the first hours to the Lord. And he writes in one thing that he had so much on his schedule that day, he wrote, "I have to get up 3 hours early, be able to spend time with the Lord in prayer before I get about my activities." He was not going to sacrifice the first part of the day. Had a busy day, just means I get up early because the first part of that day is going to be given to the Lord. Yeah, this is the experience of people that we admire, look to, see how God used them. We don't realize many times they were used because they were giving the first fruit and the first part of their day to the Lord. I would just say to you, add this to you, don't make the mistake of waiting to the evening. Well, I'll pray this evening after I get home from work, or I'll pray later on. Some of you may be night people, and that's okay. Not everybody's a morning person. But don't make the mistake, because I'm a night person, I don't give the first part of my day to the Lord. I really encourage you this. Whenever you do get going in the morning, give the first part to the Lord. It sets the tone for your day. God's going to bless it. And you might be very productive in the last part of your day, and that's okay, because you may be just generally and more of a night person. But don't let that take away from giving the first part of your day to the Lord, because God will honor that first fruit in your life. We're going to leave it there. Would you stand with me right now? Lord willing, we'll go on and we'll finish the other aspects of this message. My heart is that this is not just another message. That we sort of, yeah, I see that. And then we go and do nothing differently. I mean, God hates that. He said to his disciples, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Why do you proclaim that I'm your Lord? I'm the first in your life, but you're not doing what I say. I want this message to change me. I want us to not just hear a message. I want you to hear the Lord speak to your heart this morning. He wants you to give him your heart." Oh, man, what would ever happen if everyone in this church gave their heart to God and gave him the first fruits of their life? Talk about turning the world right side up. We'd turn our world up right side up. We would have an impact far beyond what we could ever think. If this church was ordered right, where we all gave our hearts to God, and every one of us, no matter where we were, whatever profession, whatever activity you're in, that you're saying, "God, I give you first place. This is the most important thing. I want to give most of my time to this, and I want to put it first on my schedule. I want to give you first place, Lord." We need to give our hearts to God. You know, we use that phrase many times, you know, how many people gave their hearts to the Lord? We may know how many prayed to accept Christ as their Savior. And nothing wrong with that. But you know what? I got a feeling a lot of people have prayed the prayer of salvation. Let's put it that way. We call it they've given their heart, but really they've never given their heart. They've included Jesus into their life. Try to add him into the schedule and my priorities. But they never made him first. They've never really given their heart to the Lord. I want to pray this morning a prayer for me and for all of us here. A prayer where we give our hearts to God. As much as you can. It's not our ability to be able to do all this. It's a willingness and a surrender. Where you just surrender your heart to the Lord. Maybe that's a better way. You've given your heart. You've surrendered your life. And you say, God, help me. I give you first place. I want to hear your voice now. I want you to structure my life according to what you want. So I want to pray for. So if you feel that way this morning, you want to be in this prayer. I want you to just raise your hand as I pray and say, Lord, I give you my heart. As much as I can, I give you my heart. I yield my heart to you. So Lord, you see our hands. We have them raised before you. Oh Lord, we can do nothing without you. We realize how ineffective we are without you. We need your empowering. We need your spirit. We need your blessing. And we know, Lord, it comes when we give you the first fruits of our life. So, Lord, I ask that everyone would have a new awareness as we leave this place today, Lord, that our hearts are yours and we are looking to you to prioritize our life and to set our schedule and all that you want us to do. Use us for your kingdom. May we seek first the kingdom of God and all that you desire on earth. And God, we know that then you'll just bless us back accordingly. We yield our lives to you. See this people. Order our lives aright. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.